Ethical principles. Ongoing assessment and neurofeedback is grounded in the ethical principles of benevolence and non-maleficence. These core tenets guide practitioners to ensure that training benefits the client while minimizing potential harm. Benevolence underscores the obligation to provide interventions that improve the client's well-being. Practically, this involves tailoring neurofeedback protocols to achieve measurable progress in cognitive, emotional, or behavioral domains that matter to the client. Equally vital is non-maleficence, the commitment to avoid harm. Harm in neurofeedback can be overt, such as adverse physiological effects, or subtle, such as the emotional toll of pursuing ineffective treatments. Thus, continuous monitoring enables the practitioner to identify and mitigate risks promptly, fostering a treatment environment aligned with ethical best practices. Autonomy is another ethical cornerstone of ongoing assessment. It ensures clients retain control over their treatment journey by making informed decisions about continuing, modifying, or discontinuing training. A transparent dialogue is essential, as it equips clients with a clear understanding of their progress and empowers them to actively participate in treatment planning. Justice, the fourth ethical principle, emphasizes equitable resource allocation. Practitioners must balance providing effective treatment for one client with ensuring access for others. By adhering to these ethical principles, neurofeedback practitioners create a foundation of trust, accountability, and mutual respect. Ethical considerations also shape the practitioner's responsibility to maintain professional boundaries and prioritize the client's best interests. Practitioners must regularly evaluate their own biases and limitations, seeking supervision or collaboration when necessary. For example, when progress stalls, it may be ethically appropriate to refer the client to complementary therapies or additional assessments. Such actions not only align with the principle of justice, but also underscore a commitment to delivering high-quality care. In practice, ongoing assessment serves as an ethical checkpoint for both the client and practitioner. Regular evaluations provide evidence to support the continuation or adjustment of protocols, ensuring interventions remain client-centered and effective. This dynamic process allows practitioners to respond to the client's evolving needs and circumstances, reinforcing a therapeutic alliance rooted in ethical integrity. Client-practitioner relationship. The client-practitioner relationship is the backbone of successful neurofeedback training. Ongoing assessment plays a pivotal role in strengthening this relationship by fostering collaboration and trust. From the outset, practitioners must establish open lines of communication, inviting clients to share their experiences, goals, and concerns. This dialogue sets the stage for a partnership where both parties actively contribute to the treatment process. Ongoing assessment facilitates a transparent review of progress, creating opportunities for the client and practitioner to align their expectations. For instance, clients may bring subjective insights about how neurofeedback has impacted their daily lives, while practitioners can offer objective data to contextualize these experiences. This exchange not only validates the client's perspective, but also enhances their engagement in the treatment process. Clients who feel heard and understood are more likely to adhere to training protocols and apply the skills they have learned in real-world settings. Moreover, ongoing assessment provides a framework for addressing challenges and setbacks collaboratively. When progress is slower than anticipated, practitioners can use assessment data to identify potential barriers and adjust protocols accordingly. This proactive approach demonstrates the practitioner's commitment to the client's success, reinforcing trust and confidence in the therapeutic process. The relationship also benefits from shared decision-making. By involving clients in evaluating their progress and discussing potential modifications, practitioners empower them to take ownership of their treatment journey. This empowerment fosters a sense of agency, motivating clients to actively participate in their own growth and well-being. Practitioners must also be attuned to the emotional dynamics of the client-practitioner relationship. Neurofeedback training can evoke a range of feelings, from hope and excitement to frustration and doubt. By addressing these emotions with empathy and professionalism, practitioners can nurture a supportive environment that encourages resilience and persistence. For example, celebrating small milestones during ongoing assessment can boost the client's morale and strengthen their commitment to the process. Data review and self-awareness. A critical aspect of ongoing assessment is its capacity to enhance the client's self-awareness. Regular data review enables clients to connect their neurofeedback experiences with changes in their subjective states and behaviors. For instance, a client might notice that the calmness they achieve during training sessions helps them navigate stressful situations more effectively. By drawing these connections, clients gain valuable insights into how neurofeedback influences their daily lives. Data review also encourages clients to reflect on their progress and identify patterns that may inform their self-regulation strategies. For example, a client experiencing improved focus might recognize that their concentration wanes during specific times of day or in particular environments. These observations can inform targeted interventions, such as scheduling demanding tasks during periods of peak focus or practicing mindfulness exercises to sustain attention. The process of reviewing data fosters a sense of accountability. When clients see tangible evidence of their progress, they are more likely to stay motivated and engaged. Conversely, when results fall short of expectations, data review provides an opportunity for constructive problem solving. Clients and practitioners can collaborate to identify potential obstacles and develop strategies to overcome them, such as refining training protocols or incorporating complementary therapies. Self-awareness cultivated through ongoing assessment extends beyond the neurofeedback context. Clients who learn to monitor and interpret their internal states often report improved emotional intelligence and self-regulation in other areas of their lives. This broader application underscores the transformative potential of neurofeedback training. Practitioners play a pivotal role in guiding clients through the data review process. By presenting information in a clear and accessible manner, they help clients make sense of complex metrics and translate them into actionable insights. For example, visual aids such as graphs or charts can illustrate trends in EEG activity, making it easier for clients to understand their progress and areas for improvement. Generalization of EEG changes. The ultimate goal of neurofeedback training is to generalize changes in EEG activity to other domains of functioning. Ongoing assessment is instrumental in evaluating whether these changes translate into meaningful improvements in the client's emotional, cognitive, and behavioral well-being. For instance, a client who demonstrates increased SMR, sensorimotor rhythm, power during training sessions may also report feeling more relaxed and focused in their daily life. Generalization often requires a multidimensional approach to assessment. In addition to tracking EEG variables, practitioners may use self-report measures, behavioral observations, and psychophysiological assessments to capture the full scope of training effects. This comprehensive evaluation provides a nuanced understanding of how neurofeedback impacts the client's quality of life. Ongoing assessment also supports the refinement of training protocols to enhance generalization. For example, if a client's EEG changes are not accompanied by improvements in targeted behaviors, practitioners may explore alternative training strategies or incorporate adjunctive interventions. This iterative process ensures that neurofeedback remains responsive to the client's unique needs and goals. Generalization is further reinforced through collaborative goal setting. By aligning training objectives with the client's real-world priorities, practitioners can create a treatment plan that resonates with their lived experiences. For example, a student aiming to improve academic performance might focus on decreasing the theta-beta ratio to enhance attention and reduce distractibility. In conclusion, ongoing assessment is not merely a procedural necessity, but a dynamic tool for optimizing neurofeedback outcomes. By adhering to ethical principles, fostering a strong client-practitioner relationship, promoting self-awareness, and evaluating the generalization of EEG changes, practitioners can deliver interventions that are both effective and empowering. Measures and methods. EEG variables. The foundation of neurofeedback lies in its ability to monitor and modify specific EEG variables. These variables, such as SMR power or theta-beta ratios, serve as key indicators of neural activity and offer a window into brain function. Practitioners select an EEG variable based on its relevance to the client's presenting concerns. For example, Clients with attention difficulties may benefit from protocols targeting theta-beta balance, while those with anxiety might focus on increasing alpha activity for relaxation. EEG variables are not static. They respond dynamically to training protocols and environmental conditions. During ongoing assessment, these variables are measured at various points, such as before and after a training session, to evaluate their responsiveness to intervention. By comparing pre-training and post-training baselines, practitioners can determine whether neurofeedback is eliciting the desired neural changes. This process allows for the identification of trends over time and ensures that training remains targeted and effective. Graphical representation of EEG data is a vital tool in this process. Many neurofeedback platforms provide intuitive interfaces that display changes in the targeted variables. For instance, line graphs can illustrate trends across sessions, while frequency histograms may highlight shifts in brainwave amplitudes. These visualizations make complex data accessible to both practitioners and clients, fostering a shared understanding of progress. The adaptability of EEG monitoring is another strength of this approach. Advances in technology now allow for multi-channel recordings, which capture data from various brain regions. This capability provides insight into how localized changes in one area may influence broader network dynamics. For instance, increasing SMR power in a single region might also enhance connectivity within related neural circuits, a phenomenon known as generalization. Artifacts, such as muscle movement or eye blinks, present challenges to EEG monitoring but can be mitigated through careful data pre-processing. Automated artifact detection algorithms and manual review ensure that the recorded data accurately reflect neural activity. This meticulous approach enhances the reliability of ongoing assessments, allowing practitioners to make evidence-based decisions with confidence. The choice of EEG variables is not solely dictated by clinical intuition, but also informed by emerging research. Studies have demonstrated that neurofeedback's effects often extend beyond the targeted variable, influencing broader neural systems. This underscores the importance of staying abreast of scientific developments and integrating them into practice. By doing so, practitioners can refine their methods and offer cutting-edge interventions. Ultimately, the utility of EEG variables in neurofeedback hinges on their alignment with the client's goals. Whether addressing emotional regulation, cognitive performance, or behavioral challenges, these variables provide a measurable framework for tracking progress. This measurable approach not only enhances clinical outcomes, but also empowers clients by offering tangible evidence of their growth. Graphing and analysis of EEG data. Visualization transforms raw EEG data into actionable insights, making graphing and analysis indispensable to ongoing assessment. Line graphs, bar charts, and scatter plots are commonly used to track trends in EEG variables over time. These visual tools reveal patterns that may be less apparent in numerical datasets, allowing practitioners to identify subtle shifts in neural activity. One of the most insightful applications of graphing is the session-by-session comparison of EEG variables. For example, a graph might show how SMR amplitude increases steadily across sessions, indicating successful training. Such visual feedback not only informs the practitioner, but also provides clients with a clear illustration of their progress. This tangible evidence can be highly motivating, reinforcing their commitment to the neurofeedback process. Graphing is equally valuable for identifying anomalies or plateaus in progress. For instance, if a client's theta-beta ratio shows minimal change over several sessions, this could signal the need for protocol adjustments. By analyzing these trends, practitioners can fine-tune their interventions to better address the client's needs. This iterative approach ensures that neurofeedback remains dynamic and responsive. Frequency histograms add another layer of depth to EEG analysis. These graphs display the distribution of brainwave amplitudes across different frequency bands, offering a snapshot of the brain's functional state. For instance, a histogram might reveal an increase in alpha activity during relaxation training, validating the effectiveness of the protocol. Such granular data provide practitioners with a nuanced understanding of how specific brainwave patterns evolve. Advanced neurofeedback systems also enable the integration of multi-channel EEG data, into network analyses. By examining connectivity patterns across brain regions, practitioners can explore how training at one site influences broader neural networks. For example, an increase in SMR power in the sensorimotor cortex might correlate with enhanced coherence between motor and sensory regions, shedding light on the systemic effects of neurofeedback. Artifact management is another critical aspect of EEG data analysis. Even minor artifacts can distort results, leading to erroneous conclusions. Practitioners employ a combination of automated software tools and manual techniques to ensure data integrity by removing artifacts before quantifying measures of EEG variables. For example, algorithms can detect and remove eye blink artifacts, while manual review can confirm the accuracy of these corrections. This meticulous process safeguards the validity of the analysis. Graphing also facilitates communication between practitioners and clients. Visual aids make it easier to explain complex concepts, such as the relationship between brainwave patterns and behavior. For instance, a graph showing how a reduction in beta activity corresponds to changes in emotional well-being might help a client understand how neurofeedback is alleviating their anxiety. This shared understanding fosters a collaborative therapeutic relationship. In summary, graphing and analysis transform EEG data into a meaningful narrative of progress. By revealing trends, identifying challenges, and validating outcomes, these tools ensure that neurofeedback remains effective and client-centered. Qualitative and quantitative assessment. Qualitative anecdotal report. The qualitative anecdotal report is an essential element of ongoing assessment, providing rich, narrative insights into the client's subjective experiences and behavioral changes during neurofeedback training. Unlike numerical data, anecdotal reports capture the nuances of a client's journey, offering a personal lens through which progress can be evaluated. These narratives often reveal shifts in internal states or external behaviors that might not be immediately apparent through quantitative measures alone. For instance, a client receiving neurofeedback to address anxiety may describe feeling a newfound sense of calm during situations that previously triggered stress. Such reports provide valuable context to EEG data, bridging the gap between neural changes and lived experiences. Practitioners can use these anecdotes to fine-tune training protocols, ensuring they align with the client's evolving needs. Anecdotal reporting also strengthens the therapeutic relationship. When clients are invited to share their experiences, they feel heard and validated, fostering trust and collaboration. This open communication encourages clients to articulate their goals and reflect on their progress, making them active participants in the treatment process. For example, a child's anecdotal report of improved focus in class, supported by feedback from teachers and parents, creates a holistic picture of progress. Another key benefit of qualitative reports is their ability to capture unexpected outcomes or side effects. For example, a client may report increased irritability following a specific training protocol. These observations prompt the practitioner to investigate potential causes and make necessary adjustments, ensuring that neurofeedback remains a safe and effective intervention. By documenting these experiences, practitioners also contribute to a growing body of knowledge that informs future practice. The richness of anecdotal data lies in its ability to capture the multidimensional nature of change. Clients often describe shifts in emotional states, cognitive patterns, and behavioral habits, providing a comprehensive view of how neurofeedback influences their lives. For example, a client might recount how improved sleep quality has enhanced their mood and productivity, demonstrating the interconnectedness of various domains. Practitioners can structure anecdotal reporting by prompting clients to reflect on specific aspects of their experience. Questions such as, "Can you describe a moment when you felt the effects of neurofeedback in your daily life?" or "What changes have you noticed since our last session?" guide clients to provide detailed and relevant feedback. This structured approach ensures that anecdotal data remains focused and actionable. Ultimately, qualitative anecdotal reports enrich the assessment process by capturing the human side of neurofeedback. They complement quantitative data, providing a balanced perspective that integrates objective metrics with personal insights. This holistic approach not only enhances treatment outcomes, but also empowers clients by validating their experiences and achievements. Quantitative self-report. Quantitative self-report is a cornerstone of neurofeedback assessment, offering a systematic way to measure changes in the client's internal states and behaviors. Unlike anecdotal reports, quantitative self-reports rely on structured scales and metrics, transforming subjective experiences into numerical data that can be tracked and analyzed over time. This approach provides a clear, objective framework for evaluating progress. Visual analog scales, VS, and Likert scales are commonly used tools for quantitative self-report. These scales allow clients to rate their experiences, such as stress levels or focus, on a continuum. For instance, a client might rate their anxiety on a Likert scale from 0, no anxiety, to 10, extreme anxiety, before and after a neurofeedback session. A VS lets the client mark a point on a line to show how much they experience something such as energy, often with places on the line that are anchored with simple cartoons to show different levels. Over time, these ratings can be plotted on a graph, revealing trends and patterns that inform treatment decisions. Quantitative self-report is particularly useful for setting and monitoring SMART goals. By defining goals that are specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound, practitioners can create a roadmap for success. For example, a client with migraines might set a goal to reduce the frequency and severity of headaches to twice a week with a pain rating of 3 or lower. Self-reports collected before each session provide a baseline and track progress toward this goal, ensuring accountability and focus. One of the strengths of quantitative self-report is its versatility. Clients can complete self-assessments during sessions, at home, or in specific contexts relevant to their goals. For example, a student working on improving concentration might record their focus levels while studying or attending classes. This flexibility allows for the collection of data that reflects real-world scenarios, enhancing the relevance and validity of the assessment. While self-report data is invaluable, it is not without limitations. Clients may overestimate or underestimate their experiences due to biases or memory recall issues. To mitigate these challenges, practitioners can combine self-report data with other measures, such as behavioral observations or physiological metrics. This multi-method approach ensures a more accurate and comprehensive assessment. Practitioners play a crucial role in guiding clients through the self-report process. By providing clear instructions and examples, they help clients understand how to accurately rate their experiences. For instance, a practitioner might explain the difference between rating current stress levels versus average stress levels over a week, ensuring consistency in responses. The integration of technology has further enhanced the utility of quantitative self-report. Mobile apps and online platforms allow clients to complete assessments conveniently and securely. These tools often include features for graphing and analyzing data, providing immediate feedback to both clients and practitioners. For example, an app might generate a report showing trends in a client's sleep quality over a month, offering insights that inform adjustments to the training protocol. In conclusion, quantitative self-report is an indispensable tool in neurofeedback, offering a structured and measurable way to track progress. When used alongside qualitative anecdotal reports, it creates a robust assessment framework that captures the full spectrum of client experiences. This balanced approach ensures that neurofeedback remains effective, personalized, and aligned with the client's goals. Self-monitoring. Structured self-monitoring. Self-monitoring is a cornerstone of neurofeedback training, empowering clients to take an active role in their own progress. Structured self-monitoring involves systematic observation and recording of symptoms, states, or behaviors in defined contexts. This method not only fosters self-awareness, but also provides valuable data to guide treatment. For instance, a client working on stress reduction might be asked to rate their daily anxiety levels at specific times, such as after work or before bed. By standardizing the context and timing, structured self-monitoring ensures consistent and reliable data. One of the key benefits of structured self-monitoring is its ability to identify patterns and triggers. A client tracking their focus levels might notice that concentration improves in the morning but wanes after lunch. This insight enables the practitioner to tailor interventions more effectively, such as incorporating mindfulness exercises during periods of reduced focus. Similarly, clients dealing with chronic pain might discover that certain activities exacerbate their symptoms, leading to targeted strategies for pain management. Structured self-monitoring also enhances the client's sense of agency. By actively participating in the assessment process, clients feel more invested in their treatment and more motivated to adhere to training protocols. This empowerment extends beyond the neurofeedback context, encouraging clients to apply self-monitoring techniques to other areas of their lives. For example, a client who learns to monitor stress levels may also begin to track sleep patterns, diet, or exercise habits, fostering a holistic approach to well-being. Practitioners can optimize the effectiveness of structured self-monitoring by providing clear instructions and tools. Visual analog scales, smartphone apps, or simple paper and pencil logs can all be used to facilitate the process. For instance, an app might prompt the client to rate their mood at specific times, ensuring consistent data collection. By making the process user-friendly, practitioners help clients integrate self-monitoring seamlessly into their daily routines. Feedback is another critical component of structured self-monitoring. Reviewing the collected data with clients allows for meaningful discussions about progress, challenges, and next steps. For example, a graph showing a steady decline in anxiety levels can boost the client's confidence in the efficacy of neurofeedback. Conversely, identifying plateaus or regressions provides an opportunity to explore potential obstacles and refine the treatment plan. Structured self-monitoring is particularly valuable in cases where the client's symptoms fluctuate over time or across contexts. For example, a client with ADHD might exhibit different levels of focus at home versus in school. By capturing these variations, practitioners can design interventions that address the client's unique challenges. Additionally, structured self-monitoring can reveal the impact of external factors, such as stressors or environmental changes, on the client's progress. Another advantage of structured self-monitoring is its potential for long-term benefits. Clients who develop self-monitoring skills often report increased emotional intelligence and self-regulation. These skills empower clients to manage their states and behaviors proactively, reducing their reliance on external interventions. For example, a client who learns to recognize early signs of frustration might employ relaxation techniques to prevent escalation. In summary, structured self-monitoring is a powerful tool for enhancing the effectiveness of neurofeedback outcomes. By fostering self-awareness, identifying patterns, and promoting active participation, it transforms clients from passive recipients of care to empowered partners in their own treatment. Time-based self-monitoring. Time-based self-monitoring offers a complementary approach to structured monitoring, focusing on temporal patterns rather than specific contexts. This method involves recording symptoms or states at predetermined times, such as upon waking, during midday, or before sleep. By anchoring monitoring to specific times, this approach captures a broader overview of the client's daily rhythms and trends. One of the primary advantages of time-based self-monitoring is its simplicity. Clients are not required to remember specific triggers or contexts, making it easier to maintain consistency. For example, a client tracking stress levels might simply rate their overall stress at the same 3 times each day. This simplicity reduces the cognitive burden of self-monitoring, increasing compliance and ensuring the collection of reliable data. Time-based self-monitoring is particularly useful for identifying diurnal variations in symptoms. For instance, clients with insomnia may notice that their mood worsens in the evening, providing insights into how their sleep difficulties impact their emotional well-being. Similarly, a client experiencing chronic fatigue might find that energy levels peak in the morning but drop significantly after lunch. These observations help practitioners design interventions that align with the client's natural rhythms. Another strength of time-based self-monitoring is its ability to highlight the cumulative effects of interventions. For example, a client practicing relaxation techniques before bed might observe a gradual improvement in nighttime anxiety levels over several weeks. By reviewing these trends, both the client and practitioner can assess the effectiveness of the intervention and make informed decisions about continuing or modifying the approach. Practitioners can enhance the utility of time-based self-monitoring by integrating reminders and cues. Smartphone alarms, calendar notifications, or wearable devices can prompt clients to complete their ratings at the designated times. These reminders not only improve adherence, but also ensure that data is collected consistently. For example, a client tracking mood might receive a notification at 8 p.m. to complete their evening self-assessment, reducing the likelihood of missed entries. Time-based self-monitoring also encourages clients to reflect on their overall day, fostering a holistic perspective on their progress. By evaluating how various factors such as stressors, activities, or interactions influence their states, clients gain valuable insights into their well-being. For instance, a client might recognize that days with higher physical activity correlate with better mood and energy levels, prompting them to prioritize exercise as part of their routine. Despite its simplicity, time-based self-monitoring requires careful planning to ensure relevance. Practitioners must collaborate with clients to determine the most meaningful times for monitoring. For example, a client dealing with social anxiety might focus on evenings after social interactions, while a client managing chronic pain might track symptoms in the morning and afternoon. Tailoring the monitoring schedule to the client's unique needs enhances the quality and applicability of the collected data. In conclusion, time-based self-monitoring provides a straightforward yet effective method for capturing temporal patterns in symptoms and states. By focusing on daily rhythms and leveraging reminders, it complements structured self-monitoring, offering a comprehensive framework for ongoing assessment. Together, these approaches empower clients to take control of their well-being, fostering sustained growth and improvement. Behavioral observation. Direct observation techniques. Behavioral observation is a cornerstone of neurofeedback assessment, offering an objective lens through which practitioners can evaluate the client's progress. Direct observation techniques involve systematically monitoring and recording observable behaviors in real-world settings or controlled environments. These techniques are particularly valuable when clients present with challenges that are difficult to quantify through self-report or physiological measures, such as impulsivity, inattentiveness, or social withdrawal. Direct observation begins with defining the target behavior in clear and measurable terms. For instance, if the goal is to reduce a child's hyperactive behaviors, the practitioner might focus on specific actions such as leaving their seat during class or interrupting others during conversations. By operationalizing these behaviors, practitioners ensure consistency and reliability in their observations. This clarity also facilitates communication with clients, parents, or teachers who may be involved in the observation process. One effective method of direct observation is event recording, where practitioners document each instance of a target behavior. For example, a parent might track the number of times their child interrupts during a family meal. This approach is particularly useful for behaviors with a clear beginning and end, allowing for precise quantification. Event recording can reveal patterns, such as whether certain times of day or environmental factors trigger the behavior, providing valuable insights for intervention planning. Another common technique is time sampling, which involves observing and recording behavior during specific intervals. For instance, a teacher might note a student's engagement every 5 minutes during a lesson. This method captures the frequency and duration of behaviors, offering a broader perspective on the client's typical patterns. Time sampling is especially useful for behaviors that occur sporadically or are influenced by contextual factors, such as attention during group activities. Direct observation also benefits from technological advancements. Video recording allows for detailed analysis and review of behaviors in natural settings. For example, a caregiver might record a child's interactions during playtime, enabling the practitioner to identify subtle cues or patterns that might be overlooked in real-time observation. Video data can also serve as a baseline for comparing progress over time. The reliability of direct observation depends on the observer's training and consistency. Practitioners must ensure that individuals involved in observation, such as parents or teachers, understand the criteria for recording behaviors and adhere to them consistently. For example, if multiple caregivers are tracking a child's tantrums, they should all use the same definitions and methods to ensure comparable data. Regular calibration sessions or check-ins can help maintain this consistency. Feedback from direct observation plays a crucial role in guiding neurofeedback interventions. By sharing observation data with clients or their families, practitioners create opportunities for collaboration and problem-solving. For instance, a parent who observes a decrease in their child's disruptive behaviors might feel more confident in the effectiveness of neurofeedback, reinforcing their commitment to the process. In summary, direct observation techniques provide a robust framework for assessing behavior in naturalistic or structured settings. By capturing real-world manifestations of the client's challenges and progress, these methods complement self-report and physiological data, ensuring a comprehensive understanding of the client's needs and outcomes. Graphing behavioral data. The value of behavioral observation is greatly enhanced when data is visualized through graphing. Graphing behavioral data transforms raw numbers into clear, interpretable patterns, enabling practitioners and clients to track progress, identify trends, and make data-driven decisions. Whether it involves line graphs, bar charts, or scatter plots, these visual tools bring clarity to the complex dynamics of behavior. One of the most effective applications of graphing is tracking changes in behavior over time. For instance, a line graph depicting the frequency of a child's interruptions during class can show whether neurofeedback training is leading to a steady decline in this target behavior. Such visual evidence is not only informative, but also highly motivating for clients and caregivers, who can see tangible proof of improvement. Graphs also facilitate the identification of patterns and correlations. For example, a scatter plot might reveal that a client's stress levels, as measured by self-report, decrease on days when their engagement in relaxation activities increases. These insights help practitioners tailor interventions to maximize their impact. For instance, if stress levels are consistently lower on days with higher physical activity, the practitioner might recommend incorporating exercise into the client's routine. Bar charts are another useful tool for comparing behaviors across different contexts or conditions. For example, a chart might compare a client's focus levels during individual study sessions versus group projects. This comparison can highlight specific strengths or challenges, guiding targeted interventions. Bar charts can also be used to evaluate the impact of different training protocols, providing a visual summary of their relative effectiveness. Graphing data is particularly valuable when dealing with complex behaviors that involve multiple dimensions. For example, a client working on social anxiety might track both the frequency of social interactions and their self-reported comfort levels during these interactions. By graphing these variables together, practitioners can explore how changes in one dimension influence the other, leading to more nuanced interventions. Technological tools have made graphing behavioral data more accessible and sophisticated. Software programs and mobile apps allow practitioners to input observation data and generate graphs automatically. These tools often include features for customizing graph types, adding annotations, and sharing visualizations with clients. For instance, a parent tracking their child's tantrums might use an app to create weekly summaries, which can be reviewed during therapy sessions. Graphs also play a crucial role in communicating progress to clients and their families. Visual aids make it easier to explain complex concepts, such as the relationship between neurofeedback training and behavioral outcomes. For example, a graph showing a reduction in disruptive behaviors following changes to a training protocol can help families understand the rationale behind these adjustments, fostering trust and collaboration. The iterative nature of graphing ensures that it remains an integral part of the ongoing assessment process. As new data is collected, graphs can be updated to reflect the client's continuing journey. This dynamic approach allows practitioners to respond to changes in real time, ensuring that interventions remain effective and aligned with the client's goals. In conclusion, graphing behavioral data is an essential component of neurofeedback assessment, transforming observations into actionable insights. By visualizing trends, identifying patterns, and facilitating communication, graphs enhance the clarity and impact of behavioral observations, contributing to more effective and personalized interventions. Rating scales. Psychometric evaluation. Rating scales are indispensable tools in neurofeedback and psychological assessment, providing structured and reliable ways to measure subjective experiences, cognitive functions, and emotional states. Their value lies in their ability to quantify abstract phenomena, such as anxiety or concentration, making them accessible for systematic evaluation and comparison. The foundation of any effective rating scale is its psychometric integrity, which includes reliability, validity, and sensitivity. Reliability refers to the consistency of a scale in measuring what it is intended to measure. For example, a well-designed scale for depression should yield similar results under similar conditions, whether administered by different practitioners or at different times. Techniques such as test-retest reliability and inter-rater reliability help establish this consistency, ensuring the scale's dependability. Practitioners rely on reliable scales to track changes in client states or behaviors with confidence that these changes reflect true progress rather than random fluctuations. Validity is equally crucial. A scale must measure the construct it claims to assess. For instance, a scale designed to evaluate attention should not inadvertently measure anxiety instead. Construct validity, content validity, and criterion-related validity are all aspects that practitioners consider when selecting rating scales. By using valid tools, practitioners ensure that the data they collect genuinely represents the client's experiences and is not influenced by unrelated factors. Sensitivity is another key attribute of effective rating scales. A scale must be able to detect subtle changes in the construct being measured. This is particularly important in neurofeedback, where progress may occur incrementally. For example, a scale with a broad range and finely graded options can capture small, yet meaningful shifts in a client's focus or mood, providing valuable feedback for both the practitioner and the client. In practice, psychometric evaluation involves selecting scales that are well documented and widely validated. Examples include the Beck Depression Inventory, BDI, for assessing depression and the State Trait Anxiety Inventory, SDAI, for evaluating anxiety. These scales have been extensively researched to ensure their reliability and validity across diverse populations and settings. Practitioners can use these tools with confidence, knowing a robust body of evidence backs them. However, even the best scales require careful administration to maintain their psychometric integrity. Practitioners must ensure that clients understand the scale's instructions and respond honestly. For instance, a client completing a Likert scale on stress might need guidance on distinguishing between mild and moderate stress. Clear communication and support during the assessment process enhance the accuracy and reliability of the data collected. Modern advancements have further enhanced the psychometric evaluation of rating scales. Computerized and app-based scales offer features such as adaptive questioning and automated scoring, which reduce the risk of errors and improve efficiency. These digital tools also enable real-time monitoring, allowing practitioners to track changes in client states between sessions and adjust interventions accordingly. In summary, the psychometric evaluation of rating scales is foundational to their effective use in neurofeedback and psychological assessment. By prioritizing reliability, validity, and sensitivity, practitioners can ensure that the scales they use provide accurate, meaningful, and actionable data, ultimately enhancing treatment outcomes. Applications and implementation. The versatility of rating scales makes them valuable across a wide range of neurofeedback applications. From initial assessments to ongoing evaluations, these tools provide a structured framework for understanding clients' experiences and measuring progress. Their implementation requires thoughtful planning and a client-centered approach to maximize their effectiveness. One of the primary applications of rating scales is in baseline assessment. At the beginning of neurofeedback training, practitioners use scales to evaluate the client's initial state. For example, a client seeking treatment for attention difficulties might complete the Connors Adult ADHD Rating Scales, CARS, to provide a comprehensive overview of their symptoms. This baseline data serves as a reference point for tracking progress and evaluating the effectiveness of interventions. Rating scales are also integral to ongoing assessment. Clients can complete scales at regular intervals, such as before each neurofeedback session, to monitor changes in their states or behaviors. For instance, a client working on reducing anxiety might use the Depression, Anxiety, and Stress Scales, DAS, to track their levels of stress and worry over time. These regular assessments provide real-time feedback, helping practitioners make informed decisions about adjusting protocols or incorporating additional interventions. Another key application of rating scales is in setting and evaluating goals. The SMART framework, specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, time-bound, aligns seamlessly with the structured nature of scales. For example, a client aiming to improve sleep quality might set a goal to reduce their Insomnia Severity Index, ISI, score by 50% within 3 months. The scale provides a clear metric for measuring progress toward this goal, fostering accountability and motivation. Rating scales also play a crucial role in capturing the generalization of neurofeedback effects to real-world contexts. For example, a parent might complete a scale evaluating their child's social skills in various settings, such as school and home. These insights help practitioners understand how the client's progress during sessions translates to meaningful changes in daily life. By focusing on functional outcomes, scales ensure that neurofeedback remains relevant and impactful. The implementation of rating scales requires careful consideration of the client's needs and preferences. Practitioners must choose scales that are appropriate for the client's age, cultural background, and literacy level. For instance, a visual analog scale with simple graphics might be more suitable for a young child than a text-heavy Likert scale. Tailoring the assessment process to the client's unique circumstances enhances engagement and accuracy. Technology has revolutionized the implementation of rating scales. Mobile apps and online platforms enable clients to complete assessments conveniently and securely, whether at home or in the clinic. These tools often include features for tracking trends and generating reports, making it easier for practitioners to analyze data and share insights with clients. For example, an app might graph a client's weekly stress levels, providing a visual summary that facilitates discussion during sessions. Despite their many advantages, rating scales are not without limitations. Clients may occasionally provide inaccurate responses due to misunderstanding, memory biases, or social desirability. To mitigate these challenges, practitioners can combine scale data with other measures, such as behavioral observations or physiological assessments. This multi-method approach ensures a comprehensive and accurate understanding of the client's progress. In conclusion, rating scales are powerful tools for assessing and enhancing the outcomes of neurofeedback. By providing a structured, flexible, and client-centered approach to measurement, they enable practitioners to deliver effective, personalized care. Their applications and implementation underscore the importance of integrating objective data with a nuanced understanding of each client's unique journey. Cognitive tests. Assessing cognitive functions. Cognitive tests are a vital component of neurofeedback and psychological assessments, providing detailed insights into the client's mental processes. These tests evaluate domains such as memory, attention, executive functioning, and processing speed, helping practitioners identify strengths and areas for improvement. Unlike self-reports or observational methods, cognitive tests provide objective, quantifiable data that complements other assessment tools. One of the primary goals of cognitive testing is to establish a baseline of functioning. Before neurofeedback training begins, clients may be asked to complete standardized tests, such as the Wechsler Adult Intelligence Scale, WAIS, or the Trail-Making Test. These assessments measure various cognitive abilities, providing a snapshot of the client's current capabilities. For example, a client with ADHD might demonstrate difficulties with sustained attention and working memory, offering targets for neurofeedback protocols. Cognitive tests also enable practitioners to monitor progress throughout the training process. By readministering tests at regular intervals, practitioners can evaluate changes in specific cognitive domains. For instance, a client undergoing neurofeedback to improve focus might show significant gains in attention-related tasks, such as reaction time on a continuous performance test, CPT. These improvements serve as concrete evidence of the intervention's effectiveness, motivating both the client and the practitioner to continue. Another advantage of cognitive tests is their ability to detect subtle changes that might not be apparent through subjective measures. For example, while a client might report feeling more organized, cognitive testing could reveal measurable improvements in executive functioning tasks, such as planning and problem solving. These findings provide a deeper understanding of how neurofeedback affects underlying cognitive processes. The selection of cognitive tests should align with the client's specific needs and goals. For instance, a client seeking to enhance memory might complete tests such as the Ray Auditory Verbal Learning Test, RAVLT, or the California Verbal Learning Test, CVLT. Meanwhile, a client focused on reducing anxiety-related cognitive impairments might undergo assessments that measure attention and cognitive flexibility, such as the Stroop test. Tailoring the assessment process ensures that the data collected is relevant and actionable. Technological advancements have revolutionized cognitive testing, making it more accessible and efficient. Computerized tests, such as CNS Vital Signs or the Cambridge Neuropsychological Test Automated Battery, CANTAB, offer standardized administration and scoring, reducing the risk of human error. These tools also allow for rapid data collection and analysis, enabling practitioners to deliver timely feedback to clients. Despite their many benefits, cognitive tests are not without limitations. Factors such as test anxiety, effort, fatigue, or environmental distractions can influence performance, potentially skewing results. Practitioners must consider these variables when interpreting data and may use multiple testing sessions to ensure reliability. For example, a client who performs poorly on a memory test due to lack of sleep may need to retake the test under better conditions. In conclusion, cognitive tests play a crucial role in assessing and enhancing neurofeedback outcomes. By providing objective, detailed, and actionable data, these tests empower practitioners to tailor interventions to each client's unique needs, ensuring that treatment is both effective and meaningful. Addressing challenges in cognitive testing. While cognitive tests offer significant advantages, they also present challenges that require careful consideration. One common issue is the potential for practice effects, where repeated exposure to the same test improves performance due to familiarity rather than genuine cognitive gains. This can be particularly problematic in neurofeedback, where progress must be accurately attributed to the intervention. Practitioners often address this challenge by using alternate forms of tests, such as different word lists in verbal memory tasks or varying stimuli in attention tests. These variations help minimize practice effects, ensuring the validity of the results. Another challenge is the time and resources required for cognitive testing. Traditional assessments, such as full neuropsychological batteries, can be lengthy and labor-intensive. This may not always be feasible in a busy clinical setting or for clients with limited stamina. To address this, practitioners may opt for brief, targeted assessments that focus on specific cognitive domains. For example, a client with executive functioning difficulties might complete only the Wisconsin Card Sorting Test, WCSD, and a digit span task, reducing the overall testing burden. The interpretation of cognitive test results also requires expertise and context. Raw scores must be compared to normative data, taking into account factors such as age, education, and cultural background. For instance, a low score on a memory test might be concerning for a young adult, but it would be within the normal range for an older adult. Practitioners must consider these nuances to avoid over- or underinterpreting results, ensuring that their conclusions are both accurate and fair. Client engagement and effort are other critical factors in cognitive testing. Some clients may find the tasks tedious or intimidating, particularly if they struggle with test-related anxiety. Practitioners can mitigate this by creating a supportive testing environment and providing clear explanations of the test's purpose. For example, framing the test as a way to identify strengths and support growth can help reduce anxiety and increase motivation. Explaining to the client that results will only be valid and useful if they give their full effort can help ensure accurate and reliable results. Performance validity tests, such as the Reliable Digit Span, assess whether the client has provided sufficient effort to ensure valid test interpretation. Technology has introduced new challenges and opportunities in cognitive testing. While computerized tests offer efficiency and precision, they may not be suitable for all clients. Older adults or individuals with limited familiarity with technology may struggle with computerized interfaces, leading to inaccurate results. In such cases, practitioners opt for traditional paper and pencil tests or provide additional training to familiarize clients with the digital format. The potential for biased results is another concern in cognitive testing. Socioeconomic factors, language barriers, and cultural differences can all influence performance. For example, a client from a non-English speaking background might score lower on verbal tasks due to language proficiency rather than cognitive ability. Practitioners must be mindful of these factors and may use culturally adapted tests or nonverbal assessments to ensure equity. Despite these challenges, cognitive testing remains a vital tool for neurofeedback practitioners. By addressing potential pitfalls with thoughtful planning and flexible approaches, practitioners can maximize the utility of these assessments. For instance, combining cognitive test results with other measures, such as EEG data or behavioral observations, provides a comprehensive picture of the client's progress and needs. In summary, while cognitive testing presents unique challenges, it offers unparalleled insights into the client's cognitive functioning. By navigating these challenges with care and precision, practitioners can ensure that cognitive tests remain a cornerstone of effective, personalized neurofeedback interventions. Psychophysiological assessment. Integrating neurofeedback and biofeedback. Psychophysiological assessment is a cornerstone of neurofeedback, providing insights into how brain activity and physiological processes interact. This approach goes beyond evaluating EEG activity alone, integrating measures such as heart rate variability, HRV, skin conductance, respiration, and muscle tension. By capturing interrelated biological processes that are indexed by these signals, practitioners can gain a comprehensive understanding of the client's physiological state and how it correlates with their mental and emotional experiences. One of the key advantages of psychophysiological assessment is its ability to identify patterns and triggers that can lead to improved understanding and management of health conditions. For instance, a client experiencing chronic stress may display heightened sympathetic nervous system activity, as reflected in increased heart rate and reduced heart rate variability, HRV. These findings can guide the development of a neurofeedback protocol that targets relaxation and autonomic balance, promoting long-term stress resilience. The integration of biofeedback into neurofeedback sessions enhances the therapeutic experience by addressing multiple aspects of the client's condition simultaneously. For example, a client with anxiety may benefit from combining neurofeedback to enhance alpha wave activity with HRV training to improve autonomic regulation. This dual approach not only reinforces the effects of neurofeedback, but also provides the client with practical tools for managing stress outside of sessions. Psychophysiological measures also serve as valuable markers of generalization. While changes in EEG activity during training are significant, it is equally important to assess whether these changes translate to real-world improvements. For instance, a client with insomnia might show reduced beta activity during sessions, but also experience improvements in sleep quality, as evidenced by decreased nocturnal heart rate and increased skin temperature. These physiological markers validate the effectiveness of the training in addressing the client's goals. Technology plays a pivotal role in psychophysiological assessment. Modern systems enable the simultaneous recording of EEG and peripheral measures, streamlining data collection and analysis. For instance, a practitioner might use a system that captures EEG activity alongside HRV and skin conductance, providing a detailed snapshot of the client's physiological state during neurofeedback. These integrated systems save time and offer richer data, enhancing the precision of interventions. The dynamic nature of psychophysiological assessment allows for real-time adjustments to training protocols. For example, if a client's HRV remains low despite progress in EEG measures, the practitioner might incorporate targeted relaxation techniques or adjust the neurofeedback protocol to better address autonomic dysregulation. This adaptability ensures that treatment remains responsive to the client's evolving needs. Feedback about findings is an integral component of psychophysiological assessment. By sharing data with clients, practitioners can foster a deeper understanding of how their physiological responses influence their mental and emotional states. For instance, showing a client their HRV data during a stressful event and comparing it to their HRV during a relaxation exercise can illustrate the impact of self-regulation techniques, reinforcing their commitment to practice. In summary, integrating neurofeedback and biofeedback through psychophysiological assessment, provides a holistic approach to treatment. By capturing the interplay between brain activity and physiological processes, practitioners can deliver more effective, personalized care, addressing the root causes of the client's challenges and promoting sustainable well-being. Applications and insights from psychophysiological data. The applications of psychophysiological assessment extend far beyond neurofeedback sessions, offering insights that inform treatment and enhance outcomes. One of its primary uses is in identifying baseline physiological patterns that contribute to the client's presenting concerns. For instance, a client with migraines might display heightened muscle tension in the neck and shoulders, indicating a need for interventions that address both neural and muscular components. Psychophysiological data are invaluable for tracking progress over time. By comparing pre- and post-training measures, practitioners can evaluate the effectiveness of neurofeedback and biofeedback interventions. For example, a client undergoing treatment for ADHD might show improvements in EEG markers of attention alongside reductions in heart rate variability associated with hyperactivity. These combined findings provide a comprehensive picture of progress, supporting data-driven decisions about whether to continue or modify the treatment plan. Another critical application of psychophysiological assessment is in detecting subtle changes that may precede observable improvements. For instance, a client working on reducing anxiety might initially show increased HRV without noticeable changes in self-reported anxiety levels. These early physiological shifts indicate that the training is having an effect even before the client becomes consciously aware of it. Highlighting these changes can motivate clients to persist with the intervention. The versatility of psychophysiological assessment makes it applicable across a wide range of conditions. Clients with chronic pain, for example, often benefit from monitoring and addressing physiological patterns such as muscle tension and respiration rate. By integrating these measures with neurofeedback that targets pain-related brain activity, practitioners can offer a multifaceted approach to pain management, thereby improving both physical and emotional well-being. Psychophysiological assessment is also valuable for identifying individual differences that influence treatment outcomes. For example, some clients may exhibit heightened sensitivity to stressors, as evidenced by exaggerated skin conductance responses. Understanding these nuances allows practitioners to tailor interventions, such as incorporating mindfulness training or biofeedback techniques, to address the client's unique needs and optimize results. The insights gained from psychophysiological data often extend beyond the immediate scope of neurofeedback. For instance, a client with PTSD might display heightened physiological reactivity during specific triggers, such as elevated heart rate and skin conductance. By recognizing these patterns, practitioners can collaborate with other healthcare providers to develop a comprehensive treatment plan that includes psychotherapy, medication, and neurofeedback. Educating clients about their psychophysiological data enhances their engagement and self-efficacy. When clients see tangible evidence of their progress, such as improved HRV or reduced muscle tension, they are more likely to take ownership of their treatment and apply learned skills in daily life. For instance, a client practicing deep breathing exercises might be encouraged by seeing a real-time increase in their HRV during practice, reinforcing the value of these techniques. In conclusion, the applications of psychophysiological assessment are vast and varied, providing critical insights that enhance the effectiveness of neurofeedback interventions. By leveraging this data, practitioners can deliver more personalized and impactful care, empowering clients to achieve meaningful and lasting change in their mental and physical health. Decision-making. Evidence-based practice framework. Decision-making in neurofeedback is a dynamic process that requires integrating multiple sources of information to ensure effective, personalized care. At the heart of this process lies the evidence-based practice framework, which combines scientific evidence, clinical expertise, and client preferences to guide interventions. This comprehensive approach ensures that decisions are both data-driven and client-centered, promoting optimal outcomes. Scientific evidence serves as the foundation of the framework, providing practitioners with insights into the efficacy of various neurofeedback protocols. For instance, Research might indicate that enhancing SMR activity is effective for clients with ADHD. Practitioners use this evidence to inform their initial protocol selection, ensuring that their approach aligns with current best practices. However, the application of scientific evidence is not static. It evolves as new studies and technologies emerge. Staying abreast of these developments is crucial for making informed decisions. Clinical expertise is the second pillar of the framework. Practitioners draw on their knowledge and experience to interpret data, adjust protocols, and address challenges that arise during training. For example, a practitioner might recognize that a client's lack of progress stems from anxiety interfering with their ability to engage in neurofeedback. In response, they could incorporate relaxation techniques or modify the protocol to suit the client's needs better. This adaptability highlights the importance of practitioner judgment in navigating the complexities of neurofeedback. Client preferences and values form the third pillar of the evidence-based practice framework. Clients bring unique goals, experiences, and perspectives that shape their treatment journey. For instance, a client with chronic pain might prioritize improving their ability to perform daily activities over achieving perfect EEG metrics. By incorporating these preferences into the decision-making process, practitioners ensure that interventions are meaningful and aligned with the client's priorities. The integration of these three pillars occurs within a collaborative framework. Practitioners and clients work together to evaluate progress, identify challenges, and determine next steps. For example, a client undergoing neurofeedback for anxiety might review their self-reported stress levels and EEG data with their practitioner to decide whether to continue the current protocol or explore alternative approaches. Shared decision-making is an ethical method that fosters a sense of partnership and empowers clients to take an active role in their care and treatment. Technology plays a significant role in supporting evidence-based decision-making. Advanced neurofeedback platforms provide real-time data on EEG activity, allowing practitioners to monitor progress and make adjustments as needed. Additionally, data visualization tools, such as graphs and trend analyses, help clients understand their progress and engage more fully in the decision-making process. For instance, a graph showing steady improvements in alpha wave activity might reassure a client that their efforts are yielding results. Despite its strengths, the evidence-based practice framework also presents challenges. Balancing the three pillars can be complex, particularly when scientific evidence is limited or conflicting. In such cases, practitioners must rely more heavily on their expertise and client input to guide decisions. For example, if research on a specific protocol for PTSD is inconclusive, a practitioner might experiment with different approaches while closely monitoring the client's response. In conclusion, the evidence-based practice framework provides a robust foundation for decision-making in neurofeedback. By integrating scientific evidence, clinical expertise, and client preferences, practitioners can deliver personalized, effective care that respects the individuality of each client. Adapting protocols and interventions. The decision-making process in neurofeedback often involves adapting protocols and interventions to address the client's evolving needs. While initial protocols are based on comprehensive assessments and evidence, ongoing monitoring frequently reveals the need for adjustments. This flexibility is essential for ensuring that treatment remains effective and responsive. One common reason for adapting protocols is a lack of progress. For instance, a client with ADHD might show minimal improvements in focus after several sessions of theta-beta training. In such cases, the practitioner may modify the protocol to target a different EEG marker, such as SMR activity, or incorporate additional strategies, including mindfulness exercises. This iterative approach underscores the importance of continuous assessment and the willingness to explore alternative pathways. Another scenario that necessitates adaptation is the emergence of new challenges or side effects. For example, a client undergoing neurofeedback for anxiety might report increased irritability during training. This could indicate that the protocol is overstimulating certain brain regions, requiring adjustments to the intensity, duration, or frequency of sessions. By addressing these issues promptly, practitioners prevent setbacks and ensure that treatment remains safe and supportive. Adapting protocols also involves incorporating complementary interventions. For example, a client with PTSD might benefit from combining neurofeedback with psychotherapy or biofeedback. By integrating these approaches, practitioners can address the client's condition from multiple angles, enhancing overall outcomes. This holistic perspective reflects the growing recognition of neurofeedback as part of a broader therapeutic framework. Technology facilitates the adaptation of protocols by providing detailed, real-time feedback on the client's response to training. For instance, advanced neurofeedback systems might highlight trends in EEG activity that suggest the need for a protocol change. These insights enable practitioners to make data-driven decisions quickly and confidently. Additionally, digital tools often include features that allow for customizing protocols, such as adjusting reward thresholds or modifying training tasks, thereby further enhancing their flexibility. Client input is a vital component of protocol adaptation. By sharing their experiences and observations, clients provide valuable context that complements objective data. For instance, a client working on improving focus might report that they perform better during tasks involving auditory stimuli than during tasks involving visual ones. The practitioner could use this feedback to tailor the protocol, incorporating auditory tasks to maximize engagement and effectiveness. Adaptation also extends to addressing the client's broader goals and preferences. For example, a client who initially sought neurofeedback to manage stress might later express interest in using the training to enhance creativity or athletic performance. Practitioners can adjust protocols to align with these new objectives, ensuring that the intervention remains relevant and meaningful. Regular review sessions are an essential part of the adaptation process. During these sessions, practitioners and clients collaboratively evaluate progress and discuss potential changes. For example, a client's self-reported improvements in mood might coincide with increased alpha wave activity, suggesting that the current protocol is effective. Conversely, stagnation in EEG metrics might prompt discussions about exploring alternative approaches. In conclusion, adapting protocols and interventions is a dynamic and collaborative process that ensures neurofeedback remains responsive to the client's needs. By combining objective data, client input, and technological insights, practitioners can deliver flexible, personalized care that evolves alongside the client's journey. Conclusion: synthesizing key insights. The journey through the comprehensive facets of neurofeedback from ongoing assessment to decision-making culminates in a deeper understanding of this innovative therapeutic approach. Synthesizing these insights reveals how the integration of evidence-based practices, client-centered approaches, and technological advancements creates a robust framework for achieving meaningful outcomes. The conclusion offers an opportunity to reflect on these components and their collective impact. At its core, neurofeedback is a dynamic process that prioritizes individualized care and attention. Each step, from assessment to intervention, is guided by the unique needs and goals of the client. For example, the use of psychophysiological measures ensures that interventions address not only brain activity, but also the interplay between physiological and emotional states. This holistic perspective empowers clients to take an active role in their progress, reinforcing their commitment to the process. The importance of ongoing assessment cannot be overstated. Regular evaluations allow practitioners to monitor changes in EEG activity, subjective states, and behavioral outcomes, ensuring that interventions remain effective and responsive. These assessments serve as checkpoints, validating the success of current protocols or signaling the need for adjustments. For instance, a client with ADHD might initially focus on improving attention, but ongoing assessment could reveal additional needs, such as managing emotional regulation. Collaboration is a recurring theme in neurofeedback. The relationship between practitioner and client is foundational, fostering trust and open communication. Clients who feel heard and involved in decision-making are more likely to engage fully with their treatment. This partnership extends to the use of tools such as rating scales and self-monitoring, which encourage clients to reflect on their experiences and provide valuable feedback. Such collaboration transforms treatment into a shared journey toward wellness. The integration of evolving technology has revolutionized neurofeedback, enhancing both the precision and accessibility of interventions. Tools such as computerized cognitive tests and portable biofeedback devices provide real-time data, enabling practitioners to tailor protocols with unparalleled accuracy. These advancements also empower clients by offering tangible evidence of their progress, motivating them to persevere through challenges. For example, visualizing trends in HRV data might inspire a client to practice relaxation techniques more consistently. While neurofeedback is firmly rooted in scientific evidence, it also recognizes the art of clinical practice. Practitioners must balance objective data with intuition and adaptability, navigating the complexities of each client's journey. This balance is evident in the decision-making process, where evidence-based frameworks guide interventions while remaining flexible enough to accommodate individual needs and circumstances. For instance, a client whose progress plateaus might benefit from an innovative protocol adjustment informed by both research and experience. The ethical considerations underlying neurofeedback further underscore its client-centered nature. Principles such as autonomy, beneficence, non-maleficence, and justice guide practitioners in delivering care that is both effective and respectful. Ensuring that clients remain informed and empowered throughout their treatment journey reflects a commitment to these principles, fostering trust and accountability. For example, discussing potential risks and benefits openly ensures that clients can make informed decisions about their care. In summary, the synthesis of insights from neurofeedback highlights its capacity to transform lives. By integrating scientific rigor, collaborative practice, and ethical integrity, neurofeedback offers a powerful tool for addressing a wide range of challenges. This conclusion not only celebrates these achievements, but also sets the stage for continued exploration and innovation in the field. Looking ahead, the future of neurofeedback. As neurofeedback continues to evolve, its potential for addressing increasingly complex challenges continues to grow. The future promises advancements in technology, research, and practice that will further enhance its effectiveness and accessibility. This forward-looking perspective emphasizes the need for ongoing innovation and collaboration to ensure that neurofeedback remains at the forefront of therapeutic care and peak performance training. Technological advancements are likely to play a central role in shaping the future of neurofeedback. Emerging tools, such as wearable EEG devices and AI-driven analytics, hold the promise of making neurofeedback more accessible and precise. For example, wearable devices could enable clients to engage in neurofeedback training at home, expanding access to underserved populations. AI algorithms, meanwhile, could analyze large datasets to identify subtle patterns and trends, refining protocols in ways that were previously unimaginable. The integration of neurofeedback with other therapeutic modalities offers another exciting avenue for growth. Combining neurofeedback with techniques such as mindfulness, cognitive behavioral therapy, or pharmacological interventions could create synergistic effects, enhancing outcomes for clients with complex conditions. For instance, a client with PTSD might benefit from neurofeedback to regulate brain activity alongside trauma-focused therapy to address the emotional and cognitive aspects of their experience. Research will continue to be a driving force in advancing neurofeedback. Studies exploring the mechanisms underlying its effects, as well as its applications across diverse populations and conditions, will deepen our understanding and expand its reach. For example, research into the neuroplasticity induced by neurofeedback could inform the development of new protocols for conditions such as neurodegenerative diseases or developmental disorders. Collaboration between researchers and practitioners will be crucial in translating these findings into clinical practice. Education and training for practitioners will also be pivotal in shaping the future of neurofeedback. As the field grows, the demand for skilled professionals who can deliver high-quality care will increase. Comprehensive training programs that combine theoretical knowledge with hands-on experience will ensure that practitioners are well-equipped to navigate the complexities of neurofeedback. Ongoing professional development opportunities, such as workshops and certifications, will further enhance their expertise. Ethical considerations will remain a cornerstone of neurofeedback's evolution. As new technologies and applications emerge, the field must continue to prioritize client welfare, informed consent, and equitable access. For example, ensuring that AI-driven tools are transparent, secure, and unbiased will be essential in maintaining trust and accountability. Similarly, addressing disparities in access to neurofeedback services will require innovative solutions, such as telehealth platforms or community-based programs. The potential for neurofeedback to address societal challenges is another exciting frontier. For instance, integrating neurofeedback into schools could support students in managing stress, improving focus, and enhancing emotional regulation. Similarly, workplaces might adopt neurofeedback to promote employee well-being and productivity. These applications highlight the versatility of neurofeedback and its potential to contribute to broader societal well-being. In conclusion, the future of neurofeedback is one of promise and potential. By embracing technological innovation, fostering interdisciplinary collaboration, and upholding ethical principles, the field can continue to evolve and expand its impact. Looking ahead, neurofeedback holds the potential to not only transform individual lives, but also contribute to the collective well-being of communities and society at large.